Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is another week, and we are ready to talk some pro wrestling. That's right. This is Rob T.
And Fanboy Dave. I know y'all miss me out there.
Yep, and we are the Brothers of Discussion, and we are ready to talk all things professional wrestling. We got a great topic today. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
We get to be the promoter.
Yes, we do. We get to be the promoter. We get to be the booker. But before we get there...
Not the booker.
Before we get there, though, I think there's some news on the rumor mill on the internet right now that is...
Oh, here we go.
That is worthy of discussion. First off, before we get to that, Fanboy Dave, you said it last week, and I have to just reiterate what you said. The fans are back.
The fans are back. Yes,
I mean, I saw Money in the Bank, and wow, that was probably the best pay-per-view that WWE has put on at least this year.
And what was your favorite match?
Oh, man.
You know you want to say it. Woo! Put on a clinic.
She did. She did. She did.
You can't mess with the queen.
No, no. She was great. I thought she did a phenomenal job.
Even though somebody was like, why did she get disqualified when she used the ramp to kick Rhea Ripley's leg?
But right.
Maybe it was just non-disqualification, but yeah. It's all right. I was happy with the end of the match.
I was happy with the interaction with the crowd.
Oh, yes.
The way that they were chanting, "We want Becky."
Oh, did you see the queen's face? Woo, if looks could kill, a lot of people would have been in body bags.
And man, she flipped them the bird. I loved it. Oh, it was awesome. Now, Peacock did piss me off because they were having technical difficulties there.
Peacock?
Yeah, Peacock. The Money in the Bank match was off the hook. What a bump that Kevin Owens took. Now, the match with Edge and with Roman Reigns, that was another one that I really enjoyed. But can I say John Cena coming on the scene was just... I'm not gonna lie. I marked out. It was
awesome.
He's
the man. We'll get back to him in a second, but you know the match that got me, like I was like, it dropped my mouth.
What was that?
The dominance of the Almighty, Bobby Lashley.
Oh my God. Yeah, he ripped him a new one, man.
I was like, what the heck just happened?
Like there wasn't even a chance. There was not at all. Oh, no. Man. Kofi was just no.
Yes. But yeah. Back to yes, John Cena, I was up and I was like, hell yeah. The man's back.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then, of course, Raw the following. I mean, having the crowd there just makes so much of a difference.
The electricity was back.
It was. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then we're recording this actually on a Sunday. So we got to see SmackDown. Did you see SmackDown?
No, I had to take care of some stuff.
Okay. I'm not going to give away stuff on SmackDown.
I will watch it after this podcast.
Yeah, but I do got to say, there was one small little thing that Roman Reigns said that the crowd popped for, and he was dogging on Cena, and all I got to say is that he says the term missionary position. That's all I want to say.
All right.
You got to see the rest.
I will watch it.
It was hilarious. So anyway, now, going back to what I started with, we got to talk a little bit about the rumor mill, okay? You dog... AEW like nobody's business.
I know.
I give you that, okay? And that's cool. And you and I have had off-air discussions about how I really feel you need to watch the product.
I saw how many people watched.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe moved the needle a little bit.
Okay,
In the millions.
Fair enough. But if what I'm hearing, and I know you're hearing it too, if it's true, AEW is about to move the needle a little bit more than just a little bit. And what I'm talking about for all you fans out there that have no idea what's going on.
Because you've been living under a rock.
Yeah. There's a rumor going on right now. And I got to be honest, from the stuff that I sent you, the links that I sent you, from what they're saying, Daniel Bryan seems to have a done deal and he's going to be All Elite.
I think you're right because I've been reading some stuff that WWE does not have any merch for him.
Right.
On the WWE shop.
Right.
So it could be true.
Right. So if rumors are true, Daniel Bryan could be the next person or next superstar to be in AEW. But this one, I got to be honest, all the stuff that I'm reading, I have yet to read anything that says it's not true. Now, the stuff I've been reading is that it's pretty much a done deal, but signatures have not been made yet. So to be fair, can you really call it a done deal if signatures haven't been made yet, right?
You cannot.
True. But the fact that the gentleman that we're talking about puts out a tweet with the famous music from when Michael Jordan came back into the game, and that's all the tweet said. I mean, there's so much speculation, but basically what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is if rumors are true, another addition to AEW will be the great CM Punk.
CM Punk is good, but what does he have left in the tank?
It's a good point.
42 years old.
That's a good point.
He hasn't wrestled. He went to UFC. That didn't work out too well for him, even though I'm still a fan of his.
Right.
But
the man has got some psychology.
Well, he does. Booker, I don't know if you listen to him talk, but he's like, he's 45, and he's like, I can't move like I used to, you know?
Right, right, right.
With these young cats.
Right, right. True. And it very well could be he's definitely younger than Sting. Sting is in AEW now, since he's been in AEW,
Has he wrestled?
He's only had technically two matches. Now, one of those matches was a cinematic match, like what Undertaker and AJ did at WrestleMania last year.
Okay.
I got to be honest, they did a phenomenal job in this match, and Sting came off looking like a beast. Now, Sting did have a match. It was a tag match, and he did really well. He really did.
But he hasn't had a singles match yet?
Not that I recall. I have not seen him have a singles match yet. But I think his whole role at AEW anyway is helping to bring up the new talent. Right now they have him paired with Darby Allin. And they've been doing a really good job. Sting has been...
Is that the skeleton guy?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Half of his face is painted. He's a phenomenal talent. He's really good. He's this generation's Jeff Hardy for sure. For sure. He does a lot of the crazy spots that Jeff Hardy used to do when Jeff Hardy was younger. I mean, let's face it, Jeff Hardy still does them, right? He does those kind of spots. Doesn't do them all the time, but no fear kind of guy. And he's a phenomenal talent. I got to give credit where credit's due. So, I mean, only time will tell if CM Punk is a part of AEW, just what kind of role he's going to play. You know, I don't see him being a backstage guy like Mark Henry is right now and Paul White is right now. But then again, who knows? I mean, money talks, right?
Yeah. Well, Keith Lee's back.
Keith Lee is back as well. How did you feel about the way they brought him in?
Well, you're not going to be Bobby Lashley after you just destroyed Kofi Kingston.
I get that. But I kind of feel like he could have been made to look a little bit strong, be looked a little stronger, in my opinion. I was also very disappointed with how they played Karrion Kross.
Well, I think they're doing that because how he dominates in NXT. And now, I mean, Jeff Hardy got a cheap win.
He did.
So, you know, we'll see what happens with Karrion Kross. But I think they're just going to start a rivalry with Jeff Hardy and him.
But see, for me, it was even more than that, though. The fact that they didn't let Karrion Kross come out with his actual full entrance, right? He just came out to his music. He didn't do the full, you didn't get the full dose of what Karrion Kross. I mean, think of it this way. You know, if I hype up a new dessert and then I bring you a dessert, but it's nothing to what you've seen or what you've heard of, you're going to be disappointed. And that's the thing. If there's people that are in that audience or watching at home that don't watch NXT, but have heard about Karrion Kross, maybe seen his entrance once or twice, and then they don't get it, it's kind of a letdown. Just my opinion, just a couple of things. But other than that, I mean, crowds are back and it makes one hell of a difference for sure. So going on to our topic today, we thought it would be a lot of fun and we did put it out there. We announced it last week that we were going to book fantasy WrestleManias. So the rules for the game are simple. We could use any wrestler.
Any
wrestler, past or present. Passed away or still with us, doesn't matter. And the only part of the rules here is that if we use somebody from the past, for example, we're talking about when they were in their prime.
Yes, in their prime.
Right. The other thing is, and this is kind of, it was a rule, but it was an unspoken rule, but I think it's just kind of a given. Being that we're booking for WrestleMania, you already have to take into account it's a WWE product because that's who made WrestleMania. Right?
Well, yeah. But you could also have people that were in WCW.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying, the reason I'm saying that is because I don't know if you did this for yours, but for mine, what I did is I had WWE title matches. WWE Championship matches.
Why did you tell me I need to do that? I just put matches. I didn't put what was on the line.
It's all right. It's okay. But that's kind of the route I took with this. So because it's a WWE product, you got to kind of put that in mind. So let's get this thing started. And how do you want to do it, man? You want to go kind of back and forth where you say your first match and I say my first match?
Well, yeah, we can talk about it.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So we're talking WrestleMania. So this would be a WrestleMania that if this could happen and we could just
book it
and this would be what you would pay money for. I would pay money to see what I've got lined up, as I'm sure you would pay money to see yours. So,
I'm sure mine is better than yours.
We'll see. So let's set the stage. We'll say Dallas Stadium because it's so big and holds.
You mean Cowboy Stadium?
Cowboy Stadium because it holds over 100,000 people, as we both know because we were there.
Yeah, and I'll be there again.
Yeah, awesome. So we'll say that's the stage, right? And this is WrestleMania, whatever number you want to give it. So in your WrestleMania, Fanboy Dave, who opens the whole pay-per-view?
Well, if you want to get it started right, I went with factions, and there's no greater faction in professional wrestling than the Four Horsemen. Mm. The original Four Horsemen.
Nice.
Which is Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson, and Tully Blanchard,
Yeah.
Versus the Hart Foundation.
Mm.
Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and the British Bulldog.
Nice, nice. All right, so in your scenario, you remember you're the booker. That means you decide outcomes as well.
Oh, yeah.
Who takes it?
Well, of course the Four Horsemen, because I'm a Shawn Michaels fan. I hate Bret Hart. No, I don't really hate him anymore, but nice. The Four Horsemen take it. I mean, you know, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, but just to see, and I'm sure Bret has fought Ric Flair in singles matches before, but as far as like a unit, I mean, just to see, you know, powerhouse of the British Bulldog against the Enforcer, Arn Anderson. I mean, that would be nice. And Tully Blanchard against Owen Hart or Ole. You know, I'm just like, I think it would just be a phenomenal match.
Yeah, but not only that, what I really find interesting about that combination, you're talking about two heel factions.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because when you're talking about the Hart Foundation with the four, not the two being, of course, Jim the Anvil Neidhart and Bret Hart. That they were faces at that point, but when it was the four, they were heels.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to take yours a little step further, right? Because when you have two heel factions, dude, you're going to have cheating at some point.
That's right.
Somebody's going to get the ref distracted, and then Tully Blanchard's going to do a little throat punch to Bret Hart while he's got him in a headlock or whatever the case may be. But the other case is this. If we're talking that Hart Foundation, who's outside of the ring?
Brian Pillman.
That's right. That's right. So he's going to, of course, make his presence felt, be it verbally or be it he gets one, trips him. Yeah, exactly. So how do you see it going down? How do you see the win actually happening?
I see, you know, the ref being knocked out, you know, or hit by accident.
Right.
And then Ric Flair or Arn Anderson, you know, getting some chairs and hitting it. And then doing a low blow and then and then getting the win on Bret Hart, and basically not to open up old wounds, but Bret screwed Bret. So, you know, for losing.
I love it. You would have Bret be pinned. That's what I would do too. That's a good opener. All right, cool. All right, so my opener. It's funny, we almost were on the same wavelength here. So here's what I did with my opener. I went with someone of past, of old. But I also went with someone of new. So I also did the faction thing, just like you did.
Mm-hmm.
But mine was for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Okay.
And in this one, it would be the Brainbusters.
Oh, yeah.
You remember the Brainbusters? Mm-hmm. That was Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard.
That's right.
Versus FTR, formerly known as The Revival in WWE.
Oh, that would be a good match.
FTR is now in AEW. And at this point in time, the Brainbusters would be the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Okay, so they'd be putting the title on the line against FTR. Now, Fanboy Dave, the reason why I went with this lineup is because from day one...
I forgot they were in the WWE. Golly.
Yeah, but from day one, when FTR came on the scene as the Revival, I thought right away, dude, that's freaking the Brainbusters. Like, the way they carried themselves, the way they performed in the ring... just everything about him shouted that old school Smash Mouth style, which is what the Horsemen were about, right, which of course was what the Brainbusters were
about. That's right. What was their saying?
Oh, no flips, just no
fists.
No flips, just fists. Yeah. I think is what it was, something like that. And
paying homage to the old school.
Exactly. And to be real, they've actually carried that on into AEW. They don't say the tagline, but it's still the same concept. They still have the same fight. They still have the same performance in the ring. I think this match would be a classic because you have the old school Brainbusters schooling the new school.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I'm talking straight schooling them.
Yeah, a lot of people that watch wrestling should know, you know, the Four Horsemen were good, but Arn Anderson was a good technician tag wrestler.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And Tully Blanchard is one of the greatest heels. I think he's so underappreciated, right, you know, because he was just cold and calculating and just was very, very callous. Like, right, he didn't give a damn about anybody, right? And I mean, he was just heartless when he was in the ring, which on a side note is really kind of funny because if you ever get to meet the real Tully Blanchard,
I've met him before.
Isn't he the sweetest guy?
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's an awesome guy. And he's a Christian.
Yeah.
And I when I met him at the, well, you were there, the WrestleCon.
Yeah.
We talked for about 20 minutes. And to be honest with you, probably 15 of those 20 minutes, all he did was talk about God.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I was like, don't get me wrong, I love talking about God, but yeah, I was like, dude, I kind of want to talk about wrestling.
No, when I met him, I was working at a prison at the time. Yes, I was a correctional officer. And he came to the prison to talk to the inmates, and we talked for a while. You know, I was like, hey, I know you. We talked a little bit of this and that. I was like, you know, if it wasn't for your stable, no other stable would exist without the Four Horsemen.
I agree. I think everybody now, they're the bar,
yeah,
and everybody else is trying to reach that bar or surpass it. Anyway, so going back to my match, I think at the end of the day, when it's done, because the Brainbusters are so old school, they would definitely give FTR a run for their money. They would kick their ass, no doubt. But I think at the end of the match, they would do the business thing, and they would put FTR over, and FTR would get the belts.
Well, didn't you say they were champions already? You mean retain?
No. I said the Brainbusters. Oh, the champions.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they would get the championship from the Brainbusters. That's nice. How I think it would come. So that would be my first match. All right. Nice. So let's go on to your second match.
Second match, which I know you know both tag teams, would be the Fabulous Freebirds.
Nice.
Versus the Rockers.
Oh, wow.
So the Freebirds of Michael P. Hayes, Gordy?
Terry Gordy.
Mm-hmm. Against, of course, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty.
I'm curious, who do you think would win that?
Well, if you just go by how the Rockers went, how the Freebirds went, I mean, both tag teams were very successful, but I'd have to put over the Freebirds.
Yeah, the Freebirds would kick the Rockers' ass, man. You know. Terry Bam Bam Gordy. Yeah. Dude.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I am a little biased, but Shawn Michaels was the majority of the Rockers, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Marty Jannetty was good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the tag team, I mean, the Freebirds, hands down, better tag team than the Rockers.
Definitely. And just Terry Gordy alone, I mean, he was beast.
Yeah.
I remember seeing matches with him, and he was another one of those underrated heels.
Yeah.
And in your scenario, if they beat the Rockers, you know that there's definitely some foul play involved.
Oh, for sure, because the Rockers are a face team.
Yeah, for sure, yeah, for sure. So are we talking Freebirds like in the world-class wrestling
days?
Well,
Michael P.A. is coming out, and excuse me, be coming out with his Confederate flag on him.
Yeah.
You know,
singing Bad Street.
Oh, okay, yeah, the Freebirds,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, so that version of the Freebirds, oh, they would definitely beat the Rockers.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it'd be a squash match, but pretty close.
Yeah. I think there would be a lot of good offense from Sean.
Yeah.
Because even back then, like you said, Sean he was the one that stood out.
Yes.
You know, for sure. A lot of tandem offense on both ends.
Right.
I think with the Rockers, there would have been a lot more tandem offense that was more high-flying, more acrobatic. Whereas with the Freebirds, the tandem offense is going to be a lot more smash mouth, mm-hmm. a lot more kicks to the face, you know, and stuff like that. A lot
of poking in the eye.
Yeah, a lot of moonwalks by Michael P.S. Hayes, for sure. Okay.
Showmanship right
yes.
there.
Yes. So that would have, man, that would have been one hell of a match to watch. That would have been so entertaining. That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that one. Okay. So for my number two match, I'm going to go basically you're talking past versus present. And what I mean by that is I would go with the charismatic enigma, Jeff Hardy, versus the current enigma, if you will, from AEW, Darby Allin.
So Jeff Hardy do singles after his tag with after the Hardy Boys when he became WWE champion.
Okay. Yeah, it would be that Jeff Hardy, right, against Darby Allin. Now, I know you're not familiar with Darby Allin. Darby Allin, though, is a big-time high flyer. Skinny as all get out. He's probably about a 105. I mean, he
Soaking wet?
Yes, he is small. I'll have to show you what he looks like later on. That dude is really small. I got to give it to him, though. He does a really good job. In this sense, he reminds me of Shawn Michaels, where Shawn Michaels was the smaller guy, but when he went up against the bigger guy, he made you believe that he could beat the bigger guy. Darby Allin does a really good job of that. So being that he's that young of a talent and the fact that he's got that down already, it's pretty impressive. It really is. Right. He's in this case, it would be the Swanton off the top rope versus the coffin drop. Okay.
I think they showed something like that on Facebook or something.
Two very, very phenomenal moves.
Like he falls like Kofi does, but his back.
Yes. Yes. So he basically wraps his arms, or he has his arms in front of him, like, you know, like if you were dead, right? And he just falls backwards. Mm. And he'll do it from anywhere, honestly. He'll do it from the top rope and he lands.
That's a little nutty.
It is. And it's very similar to the Swanton if you think about it, though. The only difference is that Jeff Hardy's actually doing a flip. Right. But he's still landing on his opponent the same way Darby Allin is. So I think this match would be, and again, going back to what you said, we're talking about that Jeff Hardy that just came out of the Hardy Boys and is doing a singles run. So I was going back and forth with this, but I think at the end of the day, you got to give the match to Jeff Hardy. I think it would be a very...
Jeff Hardy would jump off the Stanford... I don't think it's in Stanford anymore, but WWE building to jump on you.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. So would Darby Allin.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane what this dude does. I've seen a lot of his matches, and it's crazy. So it would be... I got to tell you, in my opinion, this match in my card would probably be the match of the night. Like, every other match would really have to top it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but it would be definitely a very, very entertaining match. So, Jeff Hardy for the win, but it would be Jeff Hardy versus Darby Allin. Let's go ahead. Let's go to your third match.
Third match I was thinking about, and it's a tough one, but Bruno Sammartino versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen some of Bruno's matches and, you know, how he was an icon, you know, for his people and the state of New York, I believe.
Right, right.
But then you have the Texas Rattlesnake and, you know, I'm all about Texas, but I don't know, man, because
we're talking Bruno in his prime.
I know. And Bruno was a tough son of a gun.
Yeah.
And he was champion for how many years?
Too many. I don't even remember.
Three, four. I don't know.
I think it was more than that.
Five, ten. It was a long title reign.
For sure. For sure.
Nobody is ever going to beat that, you know, I don't think.
For sure. But let's be real, though. We're talking Stone Cold in his prime.
I know.
Fresh, just angry, freaking Stone Cold. Give you the double birds, not give a damn what he does to you in the ring, and just brings it to you. Oh, man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I had to go with Bruno Sammartino.
So Bruno would take it in your scenario.
I have to, yeah. I mean, I would like to stay Stone Cold, but I mean, I don't want any death threats or anything. So, yeah, I had to give it to Bruno Sammartino.
Stone Cold's got to at least get one stunner on him, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
Okay, good, good. Yeah. Okay, I'll go with you on that one. I think that's a good one.
But I think Bruno gets a clean victory.
Okay, clean victory.
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's the question of questions, though. At the end of the match, again, talking Stone Cold, his prime. Does Stone Cold give him the respect nod, or does he say F you and just walk out the ring?
He gives him a respect nod, shakes his hand, and it gives him a stunner.
Yeah. Perfect. That's the way it goes. All right. My number three match. I went hardcore on this one. All right. So I went with, in his prime, hardcore legend, Cactus Jack.
Cactus Jack, all right. Bang, bang.
Versus John Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose.
I know Dean Ambrose, but apparently this John Moxley character is a little more vicious and aggressive.
Yes, he's a little more sadistic.
He likes doing like Japanese death matches.
Yes,
sir. And thumbtacks and glass.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Which is it's right up Cactus Jack's alley.
I mean, I know you're gonna pick that, but I'm gonna have to give it to Cactus Jack because I mean, dude was nuts.
He was nuts. I gotta tell you, it would be an even match. It really would. I give it to Moxley only because we're talking Cactus Jack in his prime, and Moxley's just a little bit. I hate to do this to you, Mick Foley, but. Just a little bit better shape, which means...
But you said him in his prime.
It is. He was still a big dude, though. Think about it. Cactus Jack was still a big dude, okay? And Moxley's just leaner and...
You mean he's leaner than he was when he was Dean Ambrose?
Yes. He really is. You gotta check him out. And not only that, he's sadistic. I may get some hate here for saying this, but I'm just being honest From my position, my opinion.
Mick Foley is a hardcore legend, man.
He is. But I got to tell you, Dean Ambrose seems to be just a tad bit more.
You mean John Moxley?
Sorry. John Moxley seems to be a tad bit more sadistic. So I would have to give it to John Moxley on this one. Personally, I would think Moxley would take it. That's just me. That's just my opinion. So we've gone through three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to take a short break. And when we come back...
No, we went through four.
We went through four?
Yeah.
Let me see here. You sure? What was your four?
Four Horsemen, Heart Foundation, Freebirds Rockers. Three.
Yeah.
I skipped one.
Okay.
No, you three. Skipped one? I apologize.
Okay. So when we come back, we're going to go to number four. All
right.
And we're just going to keep this going. So far, though, this has been good stuff. So we're going to go to this... Word from our sponsor, of course.
Word from our sponsor?
Yeah. Listen, real quick, before we go into this commercial break, I can't stress it enough. Yes, granted, we only have a couple of sponsors right now, but you got to go check them out. If you need a haircut, Hanley's is the place. If you need a gym, I'm telling you, Metroflex is the place. But if you're a small business out there in the area, when I say the area, we're talking San Marcos, Seguin, San Antonio, New Braunfels, even if you're in South Austin maybe and you want to get some airtime on our podcast, shoot us an email. We'll be more than happy to talk with you and do some kind of a sponsorship deal with
you. We're reasonable.
We're very reasonable, very reasonable. And we'll be more than happy to, do a little commercial for you and advertise your business on our show. But just contact us via email. I'll give you all that information at the end of the show, and we can talk. But for now, here's a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back. Fellas, I know how it is. Your hair and beard are looking rough and you need to get it taken care of right away. The problem is, where do you go? Say no more, because I have the perfect place for you. At Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, you'll get that fresh cut and trim by well-trained professionals who know just how to get what you want. A man's cut and a man's trim. Dallas and Jawan will hook you up with your tailor-to-you cut and beard trim, along with the straight razor shave and a relaxing hot towel treatment. These fellas will give you that old school treatment where you sit back, relax, and unwind while you get back to looking like a gentleman should. When you walk in the door, talk to old Dow and let him know that the Brothers of Discussion sent you, and he'll offer you a complimentary cold one or a shot of whiskey. Stop by 322 West Hopkins Street in San Marcos, Texas, or you can go online and make your appointment today at hanleysbarbershop.com. Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, where good times and good vibes make for a great look. And we are back. Hope you enjoyed that little commercial. You probably have the commercial running in your head already because you heard it so many times, but that's the whole point. Anyway, we're continuing on. We are fantasy booking WrestleMania, all right? We've already talked about our three matches, so now we're going to go on to number four. So, Fanboy Dave, who do you have as your number four match for this WrestleMania card?
I'm giving some love to the ladies, the women wrestlers.
Cool.
I have the Fabulous Moolah.
Really?
Versus Trish Stratus.
Interesting. Interesting. How do you see now Moolah, of course, talking about Moolah in her prime?
Yeah, well, and she was a champion for a long, long time.
Yeah, she was. So how do you see that one coming out?
Well, I have it going back and forth, you know, but who doesn't like a little stratisfaction for the win, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's very close. A lot of close two pin calls.
Right, right.
You know. But I think at the end, Trish Stratus goes over.
I think I would agree with that. A lot of dirty wrestling by Moolah for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Because that was her style. Oh, yeah. And Moolah wasn't about flips. Moolah wasn't about anything like that.
She was the win.
Yeah, she was about beating your ass, bottom line. I got to be honest, in my opinion, I think Trish even gets some color in this match. I think she gets busted open by Moolah.
Crimson red.
Yeah, at some point, there's some kind of, whether it be accidental or not, I think at some point Trish...
It wouldn't be accidental by the Fabulous
No, it wouldn't. I think she would definitely get some color in this match. But that's a good one. That's a good one. And I agree with you on that one. I think Moolah would take it. All right, for my number four, I'm going with an Intercontinental Championship match, okay? The Intercontinental Champion on this match would be the great Shawn Michaels. Who would be challenging for that belt? The late, great Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, wow.
That's a match I wish would have happened.
Yeah, that'd be a good match.
Yeah, so we're talking Shawn Michaels in his prime. And if we're and the way I looked at this match, Fanboy Dave, is that I'm talking Shawn Michaels when he went up against Razor Ramon. So we're talking heel Shawn Michaels, okay, against a babyface Eddie Guerrero, who still, though, would lie, cheat, and steal. Now, for me personally, I'm going to say this. First of all, this match would definitely be a back-and-forth match. There would be tons of high spots, tons of smack-talking, for sure. You know what I mean? I definitely see Shawn getting arrogant and at some point even slapping Eddie Guerrero at some point in the match. And then Eddie turning around and being like, "Orale, let's get crazy, Holmes," and then just, you know, going after him. But at the end of the match, I gotta give it to Eddie Guerrero. I think Eddie Guerrero would take it, frog splash Shawn Michaels for the win.
Frog splash?
No, I think it would have to be a couple, because the way I see this match happening, I think Shawn would get some sweet chin music in. The only reason Eddie Guerrero gets out, though, is because he rolls out of the ring. Now, the frog splash, though, is secondary to, I gotta be honest, I do see Eddie Guerrero doing his whole lie, cheat, and steal, where he gets the chair when the ref's not looking, slams the chair on the mat. When the ref turns around, he throws it to Shawn and makes it look like Shawn tried to hit him with the chair.
And Shawn would sell that.
And he would. He definitely would. And then right as the ref's taking the chair away, at some point, that's when Eddie Guerrero hits Shawn with the belt. Shawn lays out. Eddie Guerrero does the frog splash. 1, 2, 3. Eddie Guerrero is your new IC champ. That's how I see that match going.
Awesome.
What do you think?
I think it would be a really good match. High flying. I think it would have the fans up and down on their chairs, you know, cheering for Eddie, cheering for Shawn. I
mean, yeah.
I think it'd be electric.
Yeah, I agree. So that was my number four. All right, so now we're to number five. Who do you have for your number five?
This one is a little different because I think only one was in the WWE, but I could be mistaken, but you can tell me. But, and even some of our listeners that are young are probably not going to notice, but the great Kabuki versus the great Muta.
Ooh, man. Those would be really good matches. To my understanding, neither one of them were in WWE.
Oh, so was it WCW?
Yeah, they were in WCW. Great Kabuki, I think, may have been in WCW, but in the very early days. But yes, now, there was a belief back in the day
that they're father-son.
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah. That's what makes this match even more interesting. Because
you could use that storyline.
Definitely.
Like, you know, that the son is ready to take the father's position.
Definitely, definitely. That's a good one. So who do you see coming out on top on that
one? Well, if they're doing it like that, the Great Muta.
Yeah.
You know, taking the Great Kabuki out to pasture, and it's like, it's my time. And it would be funny, though, to see if they tried to spray each other in the face at the same time.
Right, right, so, right.
But I have the Great Muta.
That would be a good one, too, because you know at some point you're going to see Kabuki spray and you're going to see Muta spray, but the difference is Muta could change the colors.
Yeah.
And that would be...
And that also could be like, I am... that I am greater than you.
Yeah, more superior because I took it up. Yeah, I get you. Yeah. I get you. That's a good one, man. Yeah. That's a real good one. Okay, awesome. So for my number five, I decided to take it back to one of the greatest matches ever in WrestleMania history. This is going to be a TLC match.
Oh, TLC.
Okay, TLC match. Now for this one, though, I decided to go the Dudley Boys. Now, I don't know if the next team you're going to know who they are, but... they would be basically going up against Santana and Ortiz from AEW.
The guys from Impact.
Were they in Impact before?
I think so.
Yeah, they were called Pride and Glory or something like that.
I don't know.
They were Puerto Rican guys.
Weren't they the
LAX?
Yeah, I know who they are.
Yeah, these guys are phenomenal. They are great in ring, but not only that, their psychology and everything is really spot on. And yes, the match would be great, but for me, it's the psychology of this match because I can see Bubba Ray Dudley just flying off at the mouth at these guys and them giving it right back to him.
But Bubba Ray Dudley go, "What's that?"
Yeah. You know they would have to have that. Yeah. But you're talking both teams are they're from New York. You know what I'm saying? So you got these two teams that are from New York. And they're just jabbing the jaw at each other and just going back and forth. And they both teams have that smash mouth style, tandem smash mouth style. I mean, it would be one hell of a match.
Oh, heck yeah.
A definite barn burner, definite high spots because we are talking a TLC match, right?
Yep.
And what I put in here is that it would be for the Raw Tag Team Champions. Now, in this match, the Dudley Boys would be entering in as champions the way I saw it.
Right.
Now, but here's the thing. As much as I like Santana or Ortiz, I have to give it to the Dudley Boys. I don't think Santana and Ortiz could beat the Dudley Boys.
How would the match end?
The way I see the match ending is the wassup from the top of the actual ladder.
The 15-foot ladder?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And that would be, and think about it, that would be a feat because you already know Devon's afraid of heights.
Yeah.
Right? And then the way I see it, is that would kind of lead up to the next ending. Somehow one of the guys will be thrown out of the ring or something. They'll get incapacitated at some point. And I just see them doing a 3D basically onto a table, but I kind of see it happening in a way from the middle of the ladder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And that would basically be how it ends. And basically, everybody's laid out for a few seconds. I think Devon gets up, climbs up the ladder, grabs the titles. And that's how it would end.
That'd be a good match.
Yeah, I think so too. So that's how I see it. All right, so number six, go for it.
Number six, I have the Ultimate Warrior versus Braun Strowman.
Whoa.
Power versus power.
Whoa. Wow. That would be a good one. Good one. How do you see that one turning out?
Well, I mean, they'd just be going back and forth. You know, Warrior would slam him. Braun would do it. Braun give him the Strowman Express outside the ring.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I mean, the power of the Warriors is going to put the Ultimate Warrior over Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think the Warrior would take it?
Oh, yeah.
I got to disagree with you on that. I kind of think Strowman would take it.
Really?
I really do.
I'm a big Braun Strowman fan.
Yeah, I think Strowman would take it. I just don't think here's the reason why. I don't think, even though it's the Ultimate Warrior, don't get me wrong, it's the Warrior, I get it. I just don't think a splash is going to take out Strowman.
Yeah.
But Strowman's move, going on the Warrior, now granted, I think it would take a couple of them.
Yeah, by four?
Yeah. But I think Strowman would come out on top on that one. Just my opinion. That's how I think it would turn out. But yeah, you're right. It would definitely be a phenomenal match. For sure. I
mean, just two big powerhouses.
For sure. Now, I do think that at the end of that match, I think it would be one of those meet in the middle of the ring and handshake, mutual respect kind of endings. Yeah. I could definitely see that happening at the end of that match for sure. So that's a good one. All right. So for my number six, this is where I went to the ladies. And I think you're going to like this one. Again, a little bit of the old versus the new. And this would be for the Raw Women's Championship. Champion Charlotte Flair.
Woo!
Going against Lita.
Oh, Charlotte would mop the floor with Lita. That ain't even a question, bro. Man, if you pick Lita, man. I gotta be honest.
I didn't pick Lita to win this.
I'm gonna walk off this podcast and say, I gotta go.
No, I gotta admit, I did not pick Lita. Even though Lita's probably
Lita's
my favorite.
No, Lita's phenomenal wrestler. Yeah. I mean, she was one of the originals to get that a woman was just not a pretty face. And
right.
We're putting it in bra and panty matches.
Right, exactly. Like,
she could wrestle.
Yeah, no doubt. She can hang in there with the men.
Yes.
You know, but I have to agree with you. You've been saying it for weeks. Charlotte Flair is on a whole different level. She is a phenomenal athlete. She's a phenomenal wrestler, not just a phenomenal women's wrestler. She's a phenomenal wrestler. And she is just top. Like, she hasn't just set the bar. She is the bar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I do think Lita would give her a great match. I really do. I think that it would be a great back and forth. But at the end of the day, Charlotte. Yeah, Charlotte takes it. I don't think it would be a match that would last too long. Maybe 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, but it would be 10 minutes of some high impact moves and seeing some high flying from Lita for sure. Of course, in my scenario, she's wearing the thong, so that's a plus.
I'm going to tell your wife.
So, yeah, but I agree with you on that one. Charlotte does take the win on that one for sure.
Nice.
So, let's go with number seven. We'll talk a little bit about number seven, and after that, we'll go for a break, and we'll come back and do the last three. But let's hear your number seven.
You're going to like this one.
Okay.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Come on.
Versus AJ Styles.
Oh, dude, that's a good one.
A phenomenal versus
that's
the Dragon.
The Dragon. Oh, man, that's a good one. Who do you see winning that one?
And no disrespect, because the Ricky Dragon Steamboat versus the Macho Man match was such a classic. I would say this one would be just a little bit better than that classic match.
Okay.
But I'm having the Dragon.
The Dragon taking it.
Oh, yeah. AJ Styles goes for the phenomenal forearm and he misses, and then the Dragon just rolls him up for the pin or something.
Right. That would be so just typical of Ricky Steamboat, where he would reverse a move like that and go with a classic.
Yes.
A classic move to just end it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Now, that would be one heck of a memorable yes. match. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That would, and the place would pop.
Oh, yeah.
Man, would it pop. Mm-hmm. Now, does AJ come out with Omos? Or is it just?
No. This is just AJ's just part AJ. Where he's like face.
Gotcha.
Whatever, you know.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Gotcha. So for this match, you would go face and face?
Yeah. Because the fans would be like, man, you know, we like both of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I dig it. That's good. All right, cool. So my number seven. So my number seven, you're going to like this. This one is definitely a storyline match, okay? So we're talking weeks and weeks of
build up
to the grand finale of WrestleMania. And in this story, it's father versus son.
Shane versus Vince?
No. And in this scenario, like you were talking about the Kabuki, right, scenario. Same type of scenario. Son is ready to dethrone father. We're talking Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio for the U.S. title match. Rey is the champion at this point.
Yeah.
Here's the stipulation. If Dominic wins, not only does he become the new United States champion, but Rey Mysterio has to retire.
Interesting. I mean, I think Dom's doing good, but I mean, I think he's just too green still. So
right, right.
I mean, for me personally,
right.
Like watching this, I mean, I think his dad would run hoops over him.
Right. So here's how I see this match turning out. Dominic loses. Ray does not lose yet. I think this match would start an eventful feud for the next maybe year, where Dominic becomes one of the most sadistic heels in the business. Kind of like the way Eddie was when Eddie was a heel.
Right.
Okay. Like in my head, you got to understand, when I was coming up with this list, I went off in my head on this storyline alone. In my head, there was a part of the storyline where Dominic comes back and says, you know what? I discovered you really aren't my real dad. Eddie was my dad.
Like, oh, you know, man, what I'm saying? Would go there.
I would go there.
That's terrible.
I would go there. I would go there. And it would be so entertaining.
Because you're like, because I'm tall and you're short?
Yeah, some. I mean, because, and I got to say, in my head, that's kind of some of the stuff that Dominic would do. I mean, come on. Am I really your son? I mean, I have to look down at you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like something like that, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be a great storyline that could definitely get some mileage for the next couple of years, honestly.
Right.
But I think in this first meeting of father and son, Ray, I don't think Dominic takes it. I think Ray takes it. But that, yeah, that's what I had for my number seven. I thought it was, I just thought it was kind of a fun little storyline. I think nice. The crowd would definitely be into it. Let's take another break. And then after this break, we'll come back. We'll talk about our last three. And I don't know about you, brother, but my last three matches are, they're closers for sure.
Mine are good, but my main event's the best.
Okay, cool. I can't wait to hear it. All right, so we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor, and we'll finish this out, all right? Going on 10 years in the community, Metroflex Gym has been the place for back to basics, no fluff training. At Metroflex, you'll have the resources available to you to reach your fitness goals, whatever they may be. Owners Daniel Haggerty and David Wheat are available and ready to help guide you in the proper direction to get the best results for your health. Want to lose weight, increase stamina, or gain mass? Daniel Haggerty is a licensed trainer with over 25 years experience in nutrition and training and how to get the most out of your workouts. Come by today for a visit at 2101 Clovis Barker Road, San Marcos, Texas, or call to make an appointment for a tour at 512-878-8575. Homegrown in the community and veteran owned, Metroflex Gym is the hardcore training place for a hardcore workout. Call today. Yeah, what's up?
Why do you always get to bring us back on the show? And we're back. Can I not say, and we're back? You know, I mean, like, what's going on, bro?
I don't know. Can you?
Oh, I can.
Okay, well, next time you got it.
I'm just saying.
Maybe because I'm the boss.
In your mind.
Whatever. All right, so we've been talking fantasy booking for WrestleMania. I'm having a blast. How about you?
Always.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so we got our last three matches. These are the matches that are going to close out the night, okay? Oh, yeah. So we are on number eight. So Fanboy Dave, hit us with your number eight.
Well, number eight, I kind of went the same route, like big man versus big man. So I went with the almighty Bobby Lashley versus Andre the Giant.
Whoa. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And Andre the Giant, you don't call him the eighth wonder of the world. Sorry. That's China's ninth wonder of the world. The eighth wonder of the world for nothing. I mean, he was a spectacle. I mean, you know, I still think to this day, I mean, Vince, you know, he was something special, just like a Brock Lesnar.
Right,
or this or that. Like Andre,
an attraction.
The huge attraction.
Right.
Against, you know.
No pun intended.
Yeah. No pun intended. You know, I did like him in The Princess Bride. Good movie.
Very good movie. Yeah. Very good movie.
But against the almighty Bobby Lashley.
Wow. The reason I'm sitting here doing this, you know, rubbing my chin, is because I'm trying to think. I mean, the automatic thing is to say Andre would win it, but
No, I mean,
but
I mean,
as dominating as Bobby Lashley is,
I mean, like, they don't call him the Almighty for nothing.
Oh, so who do you see taking it, man?
I mean, I was thinking about this, you know, Andre, you know, because Andre the Giant was undefeated for a long time.
He was, yes.
You know, I mean, and, you know, not just anybody would beat him.
Right.
You know, but I really think that Bobby Lashley, even though everybody knows about the slam heard around the world with Hulk Hogan did that.
Right.
I could just see Bobby Lashley just giving the Dominator to Andre the Giant and beating him. And like everybody like, oh my God, he just picked up Andre the Giant
right.
in the Dominator. And I think he would do it like three times just to, because he could. To leave That's no doubt to be like, I am the almighty right. Bobby Lashley.
Right, right. That's an interesting take, man. Definitely, for sure. I'm just picturing, can you imagine getting a chop from Andre the Giant? I mean, you'd hear it in the whole stadium.
I mean, you've seen what the Big Show and his Paul White, right?
Paul White. Yeah.
I mean, when he would leave handprints on people.
Right.
And I'm not to say that the Big Show, I mean, Paul White, is not, because he's not in WWE, is not like can hit, but I think Andre probably hits harder than Paul White.
I got to give it to you. Yeah, I think he would. I think he would. But that's interesting. I don't know if I agree with Bobby Lashley taking it, but that would be one heck of a match for sure. For sure. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, so my number eight, I kind of went with another one of those interesting storyline ones. And this one has to do with kind of the whole corporate side of WWE. Mm-hmm. I've got Triple H versus Shane McMahon.
What?
No holds barred.
Haven't they fought before already?
But this would be a no holds barred match, and it would be about the takeover of the company. That would be the stipulation.
Oh, so you have the Authority Triple H?
Yes, Authority Triple H. Authority versus basically Authority Shane.
Okay.
You know, and you know how crazy Shane gets Shane? In those no holds barred matches.
Shane doesn't get enough credit for his wrestling skills.
He doesn't. Like, he doesn't.
And just think of it, if he did it full time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
Like I think Shane should have a place in the Hall of Fame. Not I don't know if he would get it because he's a McMahon. I honestly don't know. But yeah, I agree with you. I think he's very underrated. He does not get the credit he deserves. I mean,
he can go with anybody.
He can. He can. And when it comes to spots, I think the only one that is really kind of superior to him is Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Because he has taken some major spots. Just the match with Kurt Angle at King of the Ring alone.
Yeah.
That was just a match. Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal match. And he went through the whole thing hurt.
Yeah.
You know, credit to Kurt Angle too, because he was hurt as well.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I
even
think
when we went to WrestleMania, the spot off the Hell in the Cell.
Yes, exactly.
The Undertaker.
Exactly.
I wouldn't jump off that.
No,
thing.
Hell no, hell no. So I think it would be a great match, great storyline match. I think it'd be one of those matches where Stephanie comes out in some way, and people thinking, is she gonna side with, you know, Shane? Is she gonna side with her husband? And you know, and she throws everybody for a curve, and she ends up siding with her brother because he's a McMahon and she's a McMahon. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it'd be one of those things. But I think at the end of the day, Triple H takes it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But it would definitely be a good one, for sure. All right, so number nine. Who's your number nine?
You sure you weren't peeking at my list?
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Okay, because I got Triple H, the Cerebral Assassin, versus Harley Race.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm trying to go up. You get the last two matches, you got to go big.
Wow.
Triple H against Harley Race.
Okay. So who takes it?
Well, I believe, I mean, Harley Race, phenomenal wrestler, but you're going against a Cerebral Assassin. You know, Triple H is going to, like, he's about to lose. The ref gets pulled down, and then Triple H brings out his baby, his sledgehammer, and he hits Harley Race right between the eyes to win the match. But both of them bloodied, and Triple H be like, oh, I barely got out of this match. But
Triple H would be limping at the end of that match.
Oh, yes.
For sure.
Oh, Harley Race, my God. That man loved to hurt people.
Yeah, for
loved
sure.
Loved to hurt people.
For sure. That would definitely be one heck of a match, though.
But that would have to be my second to last match, because people were like, oh my God, because anything get better than this?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we'll talk about it later, but they will.
Yeah. That's funny you say that, because that's kind of how I felt with my last two matches.
Yeah.
I was like, the one I'm about to say, my number nine, I wanted to put it at the end, but then I was like, but the one I have at the end, I'm like, no. So my last match wins by an inch maybe to this one. Now, for my number nine, we're talking prime again, yes, right? Getting their prime. A match that everybody wanted to see happen, but it never did. And that would be it would be the Icon, Sting, versus The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been a good one.
Yes. I mean, and we're talking all the pageantry, all the long entrances,
out,
the lights going out,
popping up,
Sting coming from the rafters with the freaking vulture, whatever, you know, just everything you would expect. The stare down in the middle of the ring, you know, everything from Sting doing the whole hulking out thing where he beats his chest, to Undertaker doing the throat slash and putting his eyes in the back of his head, all of that happening. But at the end of the day, Undertaker takes it.
Oh, for sure.
And for that one, I did, that one I didn't put a belt on it. But on that one,
clean win, right?
It would be a clean win. And I think at the end, there would be a mutual respecting, not a handshake, mind you.
Like a nod or something?
But like a nod, like a stare at some point. Like Sting would walk up the ramp, turn around, and look. Now, of course, picture it if you can. Some of the face paint's already off, you know, and Undertaker looks at him, and he's got that look, and he just kind of nods.
Yeah.
And then Sting just nods back and just walks off. That's kind of how I would see
that
match. And yeah, basically, that's kind of how I see that match going. All right, so both cards have been stacked.
Oh, yeah.
Both cards have been really good.
I think my card's better.
I've really enjoyed yours. I got to admit, yours is a good card for sure. I don't know if you like mine, but
yours is like, you know, for someone that watches AEW CW, I might have to call it AEW WWE Lite. I don't know.
Definitely two stacked matches. I would pay money for either one of these shows, hands down. But what is the main event? So, Fanboy Dave, hit me with your main event. What
main
would it
event
be?
That's going to take everybody home happy to be like, oh my God, this is the greatest card I've seen in my life, and I don't know if it could ever be top. But in his words, the best in the world, CM Punk, versus the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Wow. So you'd have Shawn twice on this card.
Well, no, I have Rockers.
Rockers.
This is Heartbreak Kid.
Gotcha.
Heartbreak Kid. The flamboyant Mr. WrestleMania. The Icon.
Right.
Against CM Punk.
CM Punk.
Yes.
Wow. Against his skinny fat ass.
Yes. Yeah, like Triple H said, I'm going to kick your skinny fat. I can't say that because of PG. But yeah, because like you said, building up promo versus promo, mic on mic. I mean, some people may say that CM Punk is the best to ever hold the mic next to, I would say, Paul Heyman.
Right.
But I think Shawn Michaels goes on the mic.
I do too.
You know, I mean, not to get off subject, but the infamous when he fought Hulk Hogan. And if you've never seen the spoof of Larry King live, you need to go see it, brother.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But I would think that, 30-minute match.
Right.
Back and forth. Both of them high-flying off the thing, you know, going for the GTS, going for Sweet Chin Music. And then at the end, I just think Shawn Michaels would get him with a spectacular Sweet Chin Music. Almost maybe close to like Shelton Benjamin was.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But just something where if he tried to do the GTS, the Shawn Michaels, and then he just gives him the Sweet Chin Music and gets the pin.
Yeah.
But HBK winning Mr. WrestleMania, close out the show.
Right.
Beating CM Punk.
Definitely a back and forth match for sure. A lot of jaw jacking also as well. Smack talking big time. Now, would Paul Heyman be in the corner of CM Punk at this point?
No.
Just one-on-one. One-on-one. Okay. Clean finish. Nice. I like it. Yeah, that would be one heck of an ending to a WrestleMania for sure. I could see fireworks going off. Shawn standing in the middle of that ring. Yeah. Definitely. Okay, cool. All right, so my main event.
Don't put me to sleep, bro.
No. This is a good one. This is taking a current storyline, as a matter of fact. But for this, this would be another one of those. It's a, there's a lot of storyline behind this match for sure, okay? And I'm going to be honest, this match may even happen. Don't know. But this is what I would want to see. So in the stipulation on this match, it is a championship match. It is a universal championship match with the universal champion being the tribal chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns.
All right.
Okay. But the other stipulation on this match is the winner not only becomes the universal champion, but they also get to have the title of tribal chief. And Roman Reigns would be taking on his very own cousin, The Rock.
Interesting.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say Peter Maivia.
No. No, no. The Rock. The Rock would come back from Hollywood because the way I see this going down is The Rock sees what Roman is doing and the direction that he's taking the family name, the family, and doesn't like it.
Right.
So he has to come in and set Roman Reigns straight, basically. And the way he can do, the only way he can do it is to basically kick his butt.
And then what's Cena going to do?
Well, yeah, but this is family.
Yeah.
This is, it's a whole different thing. This is family.
And you're going to have people in the family picking sides?
Yeah. That's the whole part of this story. And I think there's going to be very, the way I see it is that there's very reluctant loyalty to Roman Reigns. I see Sika showing reluctant loyalty to Roman Reigns. One of those things where he supports him because he's the head of the table, because he's the tribal chief, but he doesn't agree with his method.
Yeah, but how can you be the tribal chief if The Rock comes back?
True. I know. So, and then that's the thing too that I had to take into account is that if The Rock comes back, does he really get the win? Because we all know Rock's not a full-timer.
No, I think
Roman Reigns is.
Rock would put Roman over.
I think so too. And that's why, for me, I think the end of this match would be Roman Reigns winning. However, the twist in this would be that at a certain point in the match, Roman Reigns would be humbled by The Rock in some way. Not in a way that would make Roman look weak, mind you.
Right.
But it would somehow, some way, and I didn't think that part through, but there would be some kind of a change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't think The Rock dethrones him. No. I don't know if anybody...
Well, then people will be mad because then they're going to be like, man, this sucks. Roman Reigns won the main event for the, sixth time in the main event of WrestleMania?
Yeah. But it would get him heat.
Yeah.
It would get him heat. But I think it would be a spectacular match. And I would think it would be a great match to end the show. Because let's be real. You could take it back to the first meeting of John Cena and The Rock. You know? Or even the second one, there were fans on both sides that wanted to see a different outcome, and some of those people left angry, but it was still a spectacular way to end WrestleMania. I think this would be the same way.
So, I think my main event's better.
Yeah, maybe we can ask the people what they think.
Yeah.
And having said that, I also got to say we want to hear from you. What's your fantasy booking? What would your main event be? What would your lineup be? Feel free to let us know. Email us. Get back at us. Let us know how you would book a WrestleMania. And I'm telling you, either one of these that we talked about today, I'd definitely pay money for. Fanboy Dave, this was a fun episode.
I'm telling you,
this
man.
Was a fun episode.
I know the book.
Yeah, this was good. This was really good. So, thank you so much for tuning in. Listen, I want to give you real quick. I said it in the first segment. If you're a small business, you want some airtime on the show, maybe want us to make a commercial for you, we'd love to do it. Send us an email and let us know. And one of us will contact you and we'll talk about what you're looking for. And we'll see if we can't put you on the show. Small little sponsorship. We're very reasonable. And
very
reasonable. And I promise you, we'll definitely advertise the heck out of your business. So you can email us at brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. That's bros, B-R-O-S, of discussion, at gmail.com. Just send us an email. Let us know, hey, can you give me a call? And I promise I'm more likely I'll be the one that calls you, and we'll talk, and we'll see if we can get your business advertised on the show. As I stated, email us also if you have, we want to hear what your feedback is on this episode. let us know what your, you know, fantasy booking
is. Or you can tell them that my lineup was better.
Or you can tell Fanboy Dave that, you know, everything he says sucks. whatever you want, just get at us, contact us. You can find us on our social medias. Look for Brothers of Discussion on Facebook. We're also on Twitter and on Instagram as well. So it's not hard to find us at all. And just shoot us a message. We would love to hear from you. And yeah, so I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, but I'm sure it'll be something interesting. And we'll let you know on social media what the subject matter is. If you have show ideas, please, please feel free to let us know those things too. So anything you'd like to say before we're out of here?
Not really, but, you know, your AEW peoples, they look like they're trying to do something.
Yeah, they are. I'm telling you, you gotta watch a show. You gotta watch a show. I mean, they're don't get me wrong, they're not, you know, they're not better than WWE. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, I don't they're know. Not. They're not. But
I'll tell you this. If CM Punk shows up, maybe I'll watch that show.
So the talk right now is that if CM Punk is on this, is an AEW, he's probably going to come out at their All In pay-per-view because it's going to be in Chicago.
What month is that?
I think it's September.
There you go. There you go. My first time, maybe September, I'll watch a match.
I think it's September. I'm not sure, though. I'll have to find out. So, but anyway, definitely keep your ears to the ground and hear the what's coming up.
Watch WWE.
Yeah, watch WWE, watch AEW. There's a lot of stuff going on in the wrestling world over the weekend. Matt Cardona went over to GCW where he faced Nick Gage. For those of y'all that don't know Nick Gage, he recently had one of those Dark Side of the Ring episodes based on him. He is the king of the deathmatch, and he's the guy that almost killed David Arquette. Okay.
Ooh, yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah. So he had a match with Matt Cardona this past weekend. You know Matt Cardona, right? Formerly Zack Ryder.
I know who Zack Ryder is.
Yeah. So, and Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona, beat him for the GCW title. So it was kind of interesting. They were not happy about that. They were throwing all kinds of crap at him in the ring.
Do you say woo woo woo? You know it.
I don't know. It was interesting though. And this coming week on AEW, one of the I forgot what he calls it, but Jericho is doing there's a storyline with Jericho and MJF,
the demigod.
Yes, and Jericho is trying to face MJF, but he has to go through these trials. He went through one last week, and now he has to face Nick Gage on AEW. So it's gonna be interesting. Definitely tune in for Raw. Raw's gonna be off the hook. And I can't wait for SmackDown again. I want to see where...
I got to go watch that right now.
Yes. I want to see where these storylines are going. But hey, thank you so much again for your time. Can't wait for next week. You guys are going to... Like I said, we'll put it on the social media is what we'll talk about next week. But until then, thank you again. I am Rob T.
It's Fanboy Day.
And you have been listening to the Brothers of
Discussion.